Fancy seeing you here. I'm your host, Allie Ray, a serial entrepreneur and mom who loves building brands and raising babies. This is a podcast about being on brand and in season in every facet of your life. Each week, we dive into topics around business and brand development while sprinkling some hard-earned life lessons in there too. So if you love a good brand and a good breakdown, buckle up and come along with me as I sort of seamlessly switch between major life roles in an attempt to fulfill all the life dreams of a type A Enneagram 3 millennial small business owner who wants to help other entrepreneurs and raise good humans. This is the Allie Ray Haney Show. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Allie Ray Haney Show. Like last week, I had Cassie on as a guest because we were recording after hours of the Escape Conference, but now she's here as a guest so that we can do a brand analysis for Cassie Lane and Cassie Lane Photography. So I'm very excited because this is the first episode that I've had done sort of interview or conversational style. So give me a little bit of grace if I stumble over my words because I'm just excited and nervous all at the same time. But I want to introduce Cassie first as my friend, but also as my business colleague, a fellow military spouse, a fellow mom, and a fellow multi-passionate business owner. We have lots in common, but I'm going to let Cassie take it from there. First, I would love, Cassie, for you to introduce the founder story of Cassie Lane, then show us the iterations that Cassie Lane has seen so far, and then give us a glimpse into what Cassie Lane is right now.
Hi, thanks. I just also want to say that I'm super excited to be on this side of it because I see you do this for, like, as your friend, I see you do this for a lot of other clients. I'm happy to be here. So I am Cassie of Cassie Lane. And it started out way back when my husband and I first got married. He's in the military and we moved to Japan, and I was really seeking the opportunity to contribute financially to our family. And because we moved around so much, it felt like every time I would start to get a lead on a new job, it would be like, well, I'm only going to be here for a year and we're going to have to move again. And then living overseas, it was even harder because you can't work like out in town and stuff. So at that point, I was like travel blogging for fun, kind of like hosting little like craft parties at my house to just keep myself busy, honestly, like no kids, no nothing, living overseas, like just filling in the void. And then by the time of that duty station ending, my friends had started to ask me if I could take like their family photos or if I could take like a couple session for them. And it planted this seed and made me realize that a lot of things that I had been doing, photography had been in the background the whole time. So it made me think, like, what happens if I put it in the forefront? So then we moved back to the States, to North Carolina. We got pregnant with our oldest, I'm sorry. And I started shooting family photography, specifically like those staged family sessions. I had this really cute little playhouse in the backyard, and I painted the door bright pink and I put flowers out front and strawberry bushes and put cute little curtains. And then at Christmas time, we would decorate them. My neighbor and now best friend, Claire, would help me decorate those. So that kind of got the ball rolling. That was right in my backyard. So I had a tiny little baby at home, but while she was napping, I would like stage sessions or host sessions and, or strap her to me. And we would just like do our own thing. And towards the end of that duty station, everything I'm realizing is like connected to the duty stations that we've lived in. But towards the end of that duty station, I started exploring wedding photography and got the bug and started taking all the education courses that I could find and shot my first wedding because my cousin had reached out and said, hey, I know you do family stuff. Will you shoot my wedding? And I was like, what? Like, never. And then I did. And I was like, yeah, I don't think I'm ever going to do anything else. So grew into a successful wedding photographer, and we moved again, and then we moved a couple more times. So through the moves, through COVID, through all the things, Kaylane Solutions was born for just a desire to help all of my colleagues and my friends who I was kind of helping low key anyways. It's kind of like that moment when photography was in the background. At the time of COVID, I had been helping my friends like develop business plans, help them with their back end, figure out how to reach their ideal clients, things like that. So I took that opportunity to bring that into the forefront. Kaylane Solutions was born and started out as a virtual assistant. And just the reason I'm here, and so I know that we're going to get into it, is that I believe that I mistitled myself when I started. I think I am more of like an online business manager versus virtual assistant. But I, at the time, I don't think I knew the difference. So now that I know the difference, and now that I'm kind of in this, this growth stage, and definitely something that came from the Escape conference recently, is just the clarity of like, oh, that's what's missing. That's, but I was just on the phone with Claire right before this call. And I told her, I said, you know, I have felt like virtual assistant didn't identify me well enough. So across platforms, across everything, I've just like named myself different things. So I know that it's like all over the place. So I'm really excited to hear what you found and all the things. But yeah, that's kind of the foundation. And then the direction that I want to go is more of the online business management for like mid to high level executives that are a little bit more rooted in their ideal client and what they need, and not the person that's like starting out and feels like they need everything.
Totally makes sense. I am going to interject that I think you missed a business iteration of Kaylane Styled. Left that out, but that was a big part of 2019, 2020 timeframe.
Yeah. So Kaylane Styled was pre-Kaylane Solutions. That's what Kaylane Solution came from. And Kaylane Styled was a styled shoot planning company. So I would plan a styled shoot about every, at least once a month. And I would invite other photographers out, and I would curate a list of vendors together that were really good at what they were doing, but probably didn't have the photos to be able to prove it, and bring them all together for basically like content days. I call it a fake wedding because it gave wedding professionals the opportunity to build a portfolio, both from the photography standpoint and like, you know, anything from calligraphers to hair and makeup artists. And that's still pretty fulfilling. I like to do those. I think that that's what Escape is filling for me, because I still see the pictures from the styled shoots that I did back in 2019. So, you know, bringing those people together was always really fun. It still is really fun for me. So yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I just wanted to make sure that we touched on that, because yeah, that will actually come up later when we touch on your brand's values.
Oh.
So, fun. Okay. So now I'm going to dive in basically to what I found when I did my brand analysis and what I do behind the scenes for a brand analysis. First, Cassie filled out a questionnaire, and that questionnaire had her website URL, the name of her business, all of those very basic, like informational questions. But then it gets down into the nitty gritty of, describe what you sell. What is your offer suite? What's the price range for the products and service that you offer? Your ideal client, your personal brand, all of that stuff. We go deep. The very end of that questionnaire then goes into, what are your goals for your business as we move forward into the next 6 to 12 months? So that's what I use, those goals, to then be able to see where we are now and try and find a plan to get to where she wants to be or any client wants to be in those 6 to 12 months. So sorry if I'm over explaining, but I just want you guys to see the whole behind the scenes of the process. And because I know so much about Cassie's business, I'm trying not to leave anything out. So when I started doing my deep dive online, that's where I first start. I look at every part of the online presence. I asked her the name of her business, and she has, like she mentioned, sort of two branches of her business. There's Kaylane Solutions, which it's my impression that she wants to pour most of her attention and time into that. And then there's Cassie Lane Photography. So she said that she loved wedding photography so much that she never really wanted to do anything else. And I think that's the one piece that kind of lingers from Cassie Lane Photography. And I saw that both on your website and in your social. So it looks like there's two brands, the Kaylane Solutions and Cassie Lane Photography, one website, but two Instagrams. So it looks like you have sort of an ecosystem that's split in some places, but not in all the places. Can you walk me through the thought process behind that decision?
So for me, Cassie Lane is the top brand, and then Kaylane Solutions. So Cassie Lane's the umbrella, And then K-Lane Solutions and Cassie Lane Photography fall under that umbrella. I did consider merging the two, but they're two totally different audiences on Instagram. But I didn't have a problem with it being like the weddings button on my website. And something that I was inspired by a couple of other people who had gone from wedding photography into like coaching or something like that, where they had it housed under their name with the smaller entities underneath it.
Yeah, it definitely is like overall a personal brand. I'm thinking even further into the future of, okay, so a little bit of background on us. Cassie has this thing called a MindMeister. And a MindMeister is basically this giant brain dump mind map of all of these dreams, business ideas, and how they all connect with one another. So can I, do I have permission
Absolutely.
To? Okay.
Yeah.
So some of the things on her MindMeister, and please forgive me, this was about a year ago that we started this MindMeister right around when we started the Escape conference together. But there is some short-term rental stuff on there, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There is some like boutique type of things on there, possibly right. Something even bigger, like a winery or a wedding venue.
Right.
So with those brands, do you still see those falling under Cassie Lane, or are those going to be separate entities and brands?
I think they would. That's a great question. I haven't thought that far into it, to be honest, but my knee-jerk reaction is to say they would fall under the Cassie Lane umbrella. I don't know that that makes sense because of like Cassie Lane Photography, K-Lane Solutions. That all sounds like Cassie Lane. I don't know that those other brands are going to be affiliated with like K's and L's.
So you're thinking simply in terms of like the technical branding, like the naming of it.
Yeah, because I don't know that it would make sense. I'm not sure. I guess my answer is I'm not sure.
Okay. And some of these are meant to be like rhetorical questions to kind of like plant a seed. So you think about them later on.
Great because we are at the, I mean, to get a little bit more into this, like, because we are friends, like, you know, that like there is stuff on the horizon for us and, like as a family. So we know it's not as far out as it probably was a year ago to
right.
start thinking about this stuff.
Right. Right. I'm excited about that. And I think, I'm not coming from like, I'm the subject matter expert on this. It's simply just meant to be a conversation, but I feel like the winery, for example, let's use that as sort of an overall idea, could be even its own separate brand because it's sort of like Escape conference, right? There could be outside people that are coming in to mm-hmm. be your sommelier, to be your, I don't even know all the names in the wine world. But also in terms of resale of business, like if you're going to build a business
right.
and possibly not pass it down to her daughters, then maybe a personal brand isn't the way to go. However, the way that you incorporate that personal brand into the winery is through bringing those values from your personal brand over into the training of the staff at the winery. Does that make sense?
That makes more sense to me as like incorporating Cassie Lane into the next thing instead of the next thing into Cassie Lane. That
yes.
does make sense to me.
Yeah, I like that kind of that structure there. Okay, so we're going to keep going. I'm still not like solidified onto an answer of whether I think your photography business should stand alone because I do understand why you brought them together. But to me, like you mentioned, because it's such a different ideal client, like a bride is it's the wedding world is just different. We both know
right.
that because we've
right.
both been there versus the executive mid-level executive that you talked about for K-Lane Solutions. So
yeah,
let's keep diving. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. I'm going to say one thing on that. I did toy with combining and I noticed that my brides were getting confused about whether I was in business for photography anymore for wedding photography. And on the Cassie Lane side, I would like to do a little bit more with the brand photography stuff. I really like the brand photography. I just don't market it very well because I don't know how it is disjointed because photography is, I have two photography clients, but they're so different. And one applies to Cassie Lane, but the other one does not. K-Lane Solutions, but the other one does not.
Right. Right. And I think that kind of mixed messaging was felt by me trying to take like an objective point of view. And I'll continue on and sort of tell you why. But of course, you know, your accounts from The Knot and Wedding Wire are still up and live. Then again, your Instagrams were segmented into Kay Lane Photo and Cassie Lane. So you definitely have a broad ecosystem, but I don't want that messaging to be confusing for each of those typical ideal clients thinking that maybe you're not in business. And to kind of further that, let me see if I can pull up your Instagram really quickly. When was the last time you posted on Kay Lane Photo?
I don't post very much. I always commit to posting and then it always falls off.
Let's see. I think the last one I have from you is March 17th. So that's not too bad. February 27th.
I try to get like at least once a month. I would love for that to be twice a week, but I have not dedicated enough time to do that.
Right. So that's kind of be my next thing is like, as of right now, and I don't mean to put you on the spot with numbers, but if you had to say like your income for both Kay Lane Solutions and Cassie Lane Photography, what percentage is Cassie Lane Photography versus Kay Lane Solutions?
So it's interesting. If you would have asked me this 6 months ago, it would have looked a lot different. But right now it's 75 wedding photography, 25 solutions.
Oh, okay.
So whenever pre-diagnosis, pre-heavy hitting escape conference, I had a lot more coming in from, it was probably 50-50.
Okay.
But whenever, so I, for everybody that's new here, I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer this past September and went through a lot of surgeries and stuff. So I went down, and when I went down, I had weddings booked out. So, you know, you're booking a year out. So it didn't really impact my wedding photography business. It heavily impacted the Kay Lane Solutions side. But I do use Cassie Lane, which is the Kay Lane Solutions side, as my like personal account too. So that's why there's a lot more activity there, because I see it more often.
Right. That's fair. Okay. I'm going to keep thinking on that because I still feel the disjointed feeling, but I think maybe once we get further down, the answers might come to the surface. So I know that you're a social media maven, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, LinkedIn, you're on all of them. Mm-hmm. You use them all differently, which I love. TikTok is your sort of like fun place with your personal life, your family, Penny. I mean, she's the center point of TikTok. That's a story for another time, but you should go check out Cassie's podcast episode on Penny and the importance of client experience. A little plug there for you. But
it's called the Mastermind Mixer.
The Mastermind Mixer. Oh my gosh, did I not actually say it? Sorry. Yes, go find it. I want to be like, it's season 3, episode right. Something like that. But let's see. I want to then dive into your offer suite. So because I'm familiar with weddings, I think I already know sort of like the way you present pricing to couples and clients, and that's a 3-package structure, right?
It is. Yeah.
Okay. And you're happy with that there? That's working for you?
Super happy. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not even going to touch that if you're happy and it's working and it's 75% of your income. Mm-hmm. However, on the Kay Lane Solutions side of things, as we are transitioning out of the mindset of being a VA into being an online business manager or OBM, if you hear us say that later on in the episode, first let's dive into that difference in that terminology first, because one of the things I had written at the top of my notes was, I want to know your title. When you walk into a room and you say, I'm Cassie and I'm a blank, because we've used VA, we've used VP of operations, we've now used OBM. So I just want to know who you are, what you do. And so let's dive into that. Tell me about, and I know this is like time sensitive because we just had this conversation this morning before this podcast episode, so I'm really putting you on blast here, but your offer suite, what would you like it to look, first of all, what does it currently look like? Let's start there.
It looks like a hot mess is what it looks like.
That's fair. That's why we're here.
Right. That's why I'm here. So really what it looks like now, I get a lot of inquiries for social media management, and I offer that separate from any VA offerings in addition. I just found that I get hit with a lot of people that are like, I just don't want to post on social. And I know that that's like something easy that I can do. So then I have it structured as the success lane accelerator. And I wanted it, what I was aiming for that to be was subscription based. So they got X amount of hours from me. And that would include social, but it could also include all the other stuff that they
subscription based, meaning like a monthly recurring revenue.
Yes.
Okay.
And with a commitment of 3 months, because I think that's how long it takes to get a groove together when you bring on somebody that, especially when somebody's been doing their own thing for so long.
And that was strictly like under the title of a VA virtual assistant.
Yes.
Did you have any typical tasks that were needed most often in Success Lane Accelerator?
Email management was a big one. That gets you like the call, you know, the weekly syncs, because with social media, like you send me the content, I plan your social media out. Like that's very cut and dry. When you start getting into the VA work, you have a lot more access to me. So there wasn't a strict outline of everything that I could do, but you had access and hours to use towards whatever you wanted. So if that was like email newsletter writing, you know, sponsor outreach, or booking things. Like I had a company that I would make sure that they had events happening on their property and blah, blah, blah. So, as long as they use me within their allotted time frame, it was an exhaustive list as long as I was capable, which I didn't have very many options of that. I didn't know how to do it.
Right. Right. And you said that was a certain amount of hours for each month.
Yes. Yes.
Do you recall off the top of your head what the number
I think the starting package was 10 hours.
10 hours a month.
Yes.
Okay. Did you have, you have multiple packages of this Success Lane Accelerator?
Yes, because they could upgrade for more hours. It was just with every added hour, it was an added price. But I can bring it up. I'm sure you looked at it.
I did look at it. I didn't take specific notes off of the... your website is, we'll touch on it, but is very well mapped out. I never felt like I came to a dead end, which a lot of times with service providers, I do feel like I came to a dead end. So kudos on that.
Thank you. And so I'm going to take back what I said.
Okay. Because, sorry, I'm pressing on you.
Yeah. So the first subscription option was 10 hours. Then there was 20 hours and then 40 hours.
Ooh, 40 hours a month. Mm-hmm. That's 10 hours a week.
Ooh. It is.
So you were trying to grow.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. All right. So I had social media only and then the three tiers of Success Lane Accelerator. Were there any other ways that I could work with you under the capacity of K-Lane Solutions?
Yes. Then you have, this is where we get into like, what do we name this? Right. So we have, the fractional VP of operations / like business development / online business manager. Like this is where I get into like, what is my title? I feel like people do not know what a fractional VP of operations is, in the space of the clients that I'm reaching.
I was going to say in the creative space, I think you would say that and it would scare people away.
And I think it is. I think it feels unreachable. But if I say online business manager, they're like, oh,
here's Perko.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that they mean the same thing, but one hits different.
Okay. Now I'm glad that you said that because it sounds like you're having a transition and ideal client anyway. So yeah. Does it make sense to stay with fractional VP of operations if you're going for that middle to high level executive?
The only reason that I want to say it would still change is because whenever I say middle to high level, it still means creative entrepreneur.
Oh, okay. For the audience that's listening, I just want to say that the only reason I was questioning that was because of the background with Cassie with her mother's business. Mm-hmm. And her mother's business is heavily focused in the medical field, which is obviously starkly different from like the creative entrepreneur field.
Right. So I split because I've been doing that. I've worked for my mom for 16 years in this position as an online business manager. So I know it well, but it doesn't fire me up. So it's like hard to say. I could absolutely do it, but do I want to?
Right. Okay. So we need to figure out a way to take what you're doing for I know
like
your mom's
a corporate entrepreneur.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was going to say for like yeah. lack of a better word, a corporate feel, mm-hmm. And translate it into language or messaging that works for a creative entrepreneur.
Yes.
Okay. Now we're getting into it. This is what I like. Okay, perfect. Let's see. So one of my notes that I had was like, we really should create a, let me back up for a second. I was like, I'm going to share my screen and I haven't done it yet, but, let's see, I'm going to go ahead and share my screen with you, to show you this very, very simple Canva document, but hopefully it will sort of get your brain and wheels turning. Especially because I haven't heard you say anything about Dubsado workflows or implementation yet so far. But I do know just from knowing you that that was one of your service offerings as well. So,
and one that I really, really like.
Okay. So all of that to say, let's figure out what you like and what you don't like so that we can actually make your business fun again.
Right. Right.
So tell me more about the Dubsado implementation, just so people know what that is.
So right now, the Dubsado implementation is something that I see, and this is like solving a problem, but also like buying out. So let me just get into it. So I have somebody that comes to me and they're like, I need a VA. And then I'm like, okay, what are your systems? And they're like, I don't have any systems. And I am just like a firm believer that they don't actually need a VA. They just need a system in place and automations and client management. Like it would free up all the time that they believe that they need to fill with a VA. So right now, what I would like to do is I'm really enjoying like the one-off Dubsado implementations.
Project-based.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So I like coming in, creating that workflow with them. I have a heavy influence on incorporating client experience into it. So it's automated, but it still feels like you talking to your clients, and then helping them get that off the ground and then leaving them with that or rolling it into the business manager position.
Okay. So that's going to be my next sort of pinpoint, is that I want to see something along the lines of this. I'm going to show you this, what I call an offer flowchart. So I want to know where each person actually first enters your brand's ecosystem. And then I want to see how they flow so that we can get them into that monthly recurring revenue as an online business manager. So you'll see over on the far left, I have different places that I found that they could enter into your online ecosystem. First one was the Quick Start Entrepreneur Checklist freebie, which was on your website. I am kind of jumping ahead of myself just because, you know, that's the way my mind works, stream of consciousness. That freebie didn't work. I signed up for it I didn't ever get an email. So we want to make sure that we have people being pulled in and then being served that freebie when they sign up for it.
Mm-hmm.
And please don't feel like alienated because of that, because literally I would say about 70% of the people that I sign up for their freebies, it doesn't work. Can you believe that?
I kind of can, because I go, you know, you go to try to find like somebody's Instagram and you click the Instagram button on their website and it takes you to just like Instagram.com. So I do that a lot for my clients. Like, do as I say, not as I do. Everybody listening to this.
Right. Exactly. Me too. So I want to first question you on that specifically, that Quick Start Entrepreneur Checklist freebie. Is that something that your ideal client needs if you are going for that mid to high level executive?
And that's the clarity. Like whenever the clients that were coming to me did need it, but I don't want those clients coming to me. So,
right.
And that's the clarity that I've just found in the last 2 weeks. So.
Okay, great. So I'm not telling you anything new.
No.
Okay. But from there, we want to walk through and you are, you know, the go-to girl for client experience. We want to walk through as if we were a client. Once we get that freebie, once it's changed possibly to something that is more attractive or solves a pain point for your mid to high level executive, walk them through that email sequence. What does that email sequence look like? How are we introducing your offer suite to them? Are we able to send them to links for an Etsy or your Shopify shop for your online Dubs Auto workflows, whatever it might be, so that we can bring them in on a low ticket offer and then upsell them once they get that Etsy shop and they say, I don't actually want to do all of this implementation myself. Hire you for project based. Yeah. Once they see the work that you do for project based, oh, I know this girl knows her stuff now. I think I need her on a monthly recurring basis. So that's the goal. Anytime anyone enters into your brand ecosystem, whether that's through a freebie on your website, whether that's through the 30-minute audit that you have pinned on your Instagram, whether that's through your website contact form, whether that's through the mastermind mixer. And that's something else that we'll touch on later, but I really think that you should monetize your podcast more. But okay. Does that all make sense as far as that flowchart goes?
I will say the things that I offer in Etsy are still talking to that newbie client. So that might need to be I do well on Etsy, like all things considered. Like I put it up, I barely touch it at all. And I get a couple sales a month, like and they're low, but I think that that's promising. But I think if we want to link to Etsy, I'll need to up the ante a little bit on the offerings that I offer in the shop.
And I think also Etsy can serve for that beginning funnel of your business. I'm bringing it back to the wedding world now. Think about how many couples have told you, I saw you shoot my bridesmaids or my friend's wedding, right? And I saved up so that I could have you as my wedding photographer. Now we're just taking that same sort of phenomenon that you give in client experience and translating it to the entrepreneur corporate world. Just because that newbie entrepreneur isn't your ideal client now doesn't necessarily mean that they won't be your ideal client in 3 years.
Right. So, something that I need to do better, sorry to interrupt, but something I need to do better on, which I'm like an avid Etsy person too. Like whenever I go to find something, there's always the first page that's like, if you want to hire me to do this, like I don't really sell myself on Etsy as well as I could.
And this is going to be another offshoot again, because I just do stream of consciousness thinking, but you also have a Fiverr account.
Right.
How do you feel about how that's serving you?
I don't think it's really serving me. I get a lot of like spam stuff. Like I had two legitimate leads pretty early on, but they wanted it for free. Like Fiverr is where you go when you want services for free. I couldn't roll them over because they just didn't have the money. Like,
so why don't we just take Fiverr out?
Sounds great. As far as I'm concerned, it's dead already.
Oh, okay. It's still on your website. That's why I asked.
Yeah. Yeah.
From here, I think, let me see what questions I put on here. What are your service offerings? We already talked about that. How can we have an ideal client progress from a low ticket to a high ticket offer, specifically recurring as monthly recurring income as an OBM? And in order to figure out what that freebie is, I want you to deep dive into what your client's pain points are. And then how can we fix those with a freebie? Do you want to brainstorm some right now? I'm happy to do that because
Sure.
Okay. So you said creative entrepreneur, because that's kind of where this, my questionnaire's next question is, who is your ideal client? And even though, do you care if I read that out to people? Is that okay?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. My ideal client is a small business executive that is making at least 80K per year. They have a lot of ideas, but little time to execute them. They want to continue to expand their revenue streams while making sure their bread and butter offer slash service offering is running smoothly. My ideal client does not focus on social media as a lead generator, but uses all platforms to showcase their work and stay relevant. Our client meetings are coupled with a glass of wine, and we typically spend time chatting about family or upcoming trips afterward. They're completely comfortable meeting online only, but we do try to meet in person twice a year. When they aren't working, they're vacationing with their friends and family. At their best, they respect and trust their team, so taking a break comes easy. At their worst, stress about the overwhelm of it all, and often feeling guilty because they easily fall into a pattern of overloading their work schedule when really they need to rely more on their team and spend more time with their family. They work hard so they can play harder. So we are the ideal client and are heavily motivated by their desire to travel, have more hobbies, and leave a legacy for their kids. Does that still sound on point for you?
Yes.
Okay. So you've already started down the road at their worst, the stress about the overwhelm of it all, feeling guilty because they easily fall into a pattern of overloading their work schedule when they really need to rely more on their team. Okay. So what type of freebie can we make based off of that?
I don't know.
Well, it sounds like they are having trouble with their systems, possibly. So when you say creative entrepreneur, because that wasn't technically mentioned in your ideal client description, tell me what some of those creative entrepreneurs do.
Let's see. I'm exploring this. So
That's fine. That's what this is for.
Yeah. I would say they have some type of brick and mortar to some degree. Like they have an establishment, likely, or they want one. And I say that because I think that the experience that I have with my other clients, that's where I do best, is whenever there's like a wedding venue or a winery. You know, like those are the clients that I do really well with. Even my mom has an office that she manages, but she also works offsite as a consultant. So
I would not categorize wedding venue owner or winery owner as a creative entrepreneur.
Really? What would you?
I
just an entrepreneur? Like how do they get? Yeah. Okay. So maybe I'm using the word creative incorrectly.
Because when I think of creative entrepreneur, I think of
like a calligrapher.
Like a service-based offering. Oh,
I think creative where you're not like in the corporate space, like you have the ability to like create whatever you want out of the business that you have.
Okay.
Makes
sense. No, it definitely makes sense. I think we're looking at it a little bit, like not narrow-mindedly, but very black and white between corporate and creative. And I think there's definitely space in between those two, but I
think that like,
I
definitely speak to the space in between, I think that there is a gray area. Yeah, it's funny that you don't think that it's creative because that opens up like a whole new thing. If that's what you were thinking.
I think wedding vendors typically would get like a creative entrepreneur title in terms of like photography, calligrapher, maybe even like a baker.
Mm-hmm.
But like a caterer is not to me, is not a creative entrepreneur. A wedding venue owner is not a creative entrepreneur.
That's so interesting. Because to me, they like create so much.
You're about to make me Google what the definition of creative is. But I mean, does your mom doesn't create anything? Would you?
There's just like, you know,
categorize like a carpenter as a creative entrepreneur?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe I was just not understanding what your definition
of creative.
What I meant.
Like I said, maybe I'm misusing it. When I think about the difference between my mom as like what I call like a corporate entrepreneur versus I guess everybody else is that she has like, you know, there's standard practices and standard things that she has to do a certain way. But then we get into carpentry and this is a moot point. But like there's HIPAA, there's all of this like government regulated stuff and like,
right. So is catering. I mean,
yeah. So, and I don't know that a caterer is my ideal client. I don't know. So like, that's okay. Where it gets into like, where they have the flexibility to kind of create what they want out of their business.
I think I have it. I think I have it. I think your ideal client is a lifestyle entrepreneur. They're okay. Building a business to match their lifestyle.
Yeah. Okay. Lifestyle entrepreneur.
Now we might have to define that.
Yeah, I was going to say, because will people know what that means?
Probably not, but I think.
Like if we know that in the background.
Right. And
what
I think
language
do
we use to talk to those people?
Right. And what if we can find where those people hang out and approach them there where they're already comfortable, then I think it'll be a lot more of a natural introduction. You said it in your ideal client description that you want to hear about their family and their travel and all of that. Like you said yourself, you have a personal brand. It's named after you. So right. I think that's where we find those ideal clients, is by reframing what creative entrepreneur means to us into what a lifestyle entrepreneur is. So the category, or excuse me, the characteristics of a lifestyle entrepreneur, I saw family in here. I saw travel in here multiple times. What else? What else do they do?
They drink.
Okay.
Casually.
I think you had in there wine. Yeah.
They're social.
Okay.
They're multi-passionate.
Okay.
Likely. They do have, like, I know you said family, but like they have kids.
Are we talking to females or are we talking to males?
In my brain, we're talking to females, but I'm not opposed to having male clients, and I think I could match the energy.
Okay.
Probably female.
Okay.
Yeah.
Female over male, but
yeah,
not to exclude.
Not to exclude. Males. Right.
Okay. Right. Okay. So let's see. Well, we're basically talking to ourselves. So
we're talking to ourselves, and like I'm talking to myself in
5 years.
Yeah.
So our pain points would be probably time. That's what I was about to say, getting kids to sports events and mm-hmm. your favorite B word.
Balance. Balance isn't real.
Okay. Let me think on it. You know, I'm not always great on the spot, but I am a very good marinator. So
Allie is a fantastic marinator.
So I won't leave you hanging. The goal of marinating is to find some sort of freebie that Cassie can post on her website, perhaps use in her podcast episodes, to grow her email list, therefore grow her warm leads. So that's the goal of that. We'll come back to that perhaps in another episode. Who knows?
I'm going to add one more thing. I also think that they're they might have a team, but at the core, they're like a solopreneur. So they've built it themselves, and now they might have people with them or, you know, others involved, but at the core, it's their business.
Okay. Team, but at the heart, a solopreneur. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And on the questionnaire, the next questions that I ask are, if you could describe your brand in 3 words, what would they be? Supportive, easygoing, and transparent. So I think just from this conversation, you can probably see anytime Cassie has an interaction with somebody that that's typically how it goes, is those 3 words. She does describe her brand as a personal brand, which you've already touched on. And it's all about, you know, how she can relate to the client, how she is her client, or her client will be her in 5 years. And the next question was, what are your brand values?
This is so funny. I knew it was coming whenever you said the questionnaire, and I was like, damn it. Because we did this with Escape and we saw the fruits of that, and we know how important it is, but I have had such a hard time nailing down like what should be the easiest parts of my brand, like what it looks like and what it stands for. And like, I know that they exist, but it's like I have a brain block.
I think it's because first of all, you're not alone. I have defined some values for Allie Rae Haney, but honestly, if you asked me to recite them back to you right now, I could do 2 out of the 3. So I think it's simply just being so close and to your own business that you aren't able to get a good impression of it, because you know what you want it to be and where it is. And sometimes there's a discrepancy in between those 2 places. So I wrote down a few that I thought perhaps could apply to Cassie Lane. First was balance. Oh. And I knew that you were going to hate that. There's a background between that, because a lot of, when we were going through and trying to describe or determine which values we wanted for the escape conference. The B word got thrown around in there a lot because our mission is basically to pour into the entrepreneurial side of every person that we encounter, but also reinvigorate the spirit of every person we encounter. Because as we've mentioned, not only the entrepreneurs we work with, but ourselves, we wear a lot of different hats. We're moms, we're wives, we're business owners, we're everything all the time.
Yeah.
So Cassie has an aversion to the word balance. But based off of the description of your ideal client, I don't know that that would turn them off. I think balance is very attractive to a lot of people. And just because it's impossible doesn't mean it's not something we should strive for.
I also think that there it's a little bit more, you know, okay, so I say you can only drive one car at a time, right? Like that's my thing. It's like you can only, and I learned this from a coach years ago. And so I think that balance for an individual is impossible. Like you're always going to be in one car more than the other, like it, whether what car it is. But if you have two people, you can drive two cars. So like the balance does level out. So in that regard, I don't hate the word, but I think that where I get into the nitty gritty is implying that as an individual, you can have a perfectly balanced life.
Okay. That I like that very eloquent on the spot explanation. So let's keep that.
You sounded sarcastic there. So I just want to note that I really did just say that. That really was on the spot.
Oh, that was not meant to be sarcastic at all. Yeah. I think I'm trying to formulate my next thought before you finish yours. So I apologize. That was sincere.
I needed your podcast listeners to understand that I really did just spew that out.
Okay. So a couple other ones that came to the surface were service. And I know that's one of ours for escape. But if you know Cassie, you know that she is here to serve. She overserves often. Alcohol and client experience. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But service is definitely one that comes to the top of my mind. Community and collaboration were both there as well. I think community has shown up in every iteration of your business from the time that, you know, you met Claire, from, you know, decorating your backdrop in your backyard.
Travel blogging before that, like we would get together right with all the bloggers in the area. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. All the way to K-Line Styled, where you hosted a styled shoot for over 100 photographers, all the way through Escape. Like, mm-hmm. I think that is one constant, no matter what Cassie Lane looked like. So I think that's something that, as we go through, comes to the surface. The next one that I actually wrote down since we got on this call was solution or solution oriented. Mm-hmm. You see a problem and you fix it. So I think that also goes hand in hand with service. You're very astute to be able to see all of the variables and fit those variables into an equation that someone that's so close to their own business might not be able to see. And that comes through, again, through almost every iteration of your business, from K-Lane Styled, where you were solution oriented, helping new wedding photographers establish their portfolio that was non-existent before that, to solution oriented in, you know, K-Lane Solutions. You are right. Implementing workflows. You are solving people's problems in their business. That business development piece comes in there too. And then all the way to Escape, which is a totally separate brand in and of itself. It was born to find a solution to a problem that we had. So I think solution-based or solution-oriented is also one that comes to the surface. And then finally, last but not least, the last one I had written down was celebration. And this kind of is what pulls in, I really feel like, that personal side of things. This last year was one of your hardest years of your life. And being diagnosed with cancer, doing a cross country move, they were so building a business
deployment,
a deployment. Yeah. Like yeah. Honestly, I can't even, the list is just like so long that like cancer and cross country move are at the top of my list, but like so many other things happen. And I think it was a learning year and that we have to learn to celebrate the small things so that we can learn to enjoy the big things when they happen. Right. So I think you say here, like you enjoy having just a glass of wine. Like that's a mm-hmm. small celebration to, you know, welcome a new client
like in, the work day.
Okay, that's fine too. But that's one that came to the top of the list for me as well. Just knowing every iteration of your business and also knowing you personally outside of this. So to recap, I have 1, 2, 5. Balance, service, community and collaboration, I used as one, solution-based, and celebration. What's your initial impression of those?
I would say that a lot of them I wouldn't, like when somebody asked me my values, I wouldn't use a word like celebration as a value, you know, like I hadn't, not that I'm opposed to it, I just hadn't considered it. And maybe that's why I've had such a hard time like nailing it down, you know?
And it might not be, but it's your personal brand. So you can do whatever the hell you want.
That's fair. You know, cause I think through like, you know, people think of like integrity and like deeply rooted words. I don't know, that it feels like so much more serious, but then being like, my value is to celebrate, like that feels too light initially, just, and not to say that it's wrong, just like that's my initial response, because you're not wrong. Like I do want to focus on that, like whether it's a bride or a business owner, I do, and even like a business partner and you, like I am always like the one that's like, hey, like let's remember this, you know? So it is important. And especially like, you know, things, you evolve and everything grows and things like that. So like post-diagnosis, just like focusing on the little and big celebrations is important for sure.
Yeah. And if you don't want to use celebration, you're absolutely not
going to. I was just using that one as an example.
Yeah. You're not going to hurt my feelings, but the other way to incorporate that is have that be part of your core brand messaging. If you don't want mm-hmm. it to be a value, you can still use it in a separate capacity where you continue to come back to it and use it much like you use that phrase of you can only drive a car at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, and you also said that you don't have a brand mission statement, but I think first probably comes the brand values. And from that, your brand mission statement will be born. So I'm happy to discuss through that brand mission statement once we have the values nailed down.
Okay.
I actually never even read out your goals. So this conversation is probably confusing to multiple people. Goal one, you said you would like to go through a rebrand to target the new ideal client and customer, which we are getting closer to defining throughout this call. When you say go through a rebrand, can you tell me what that means to you?
It's the same thing as like the copy of my website, the freebie that I'm offering. I would love to have, I mentioned this before, the logo that I have for Cassie Lane Photography is the one that I like made myself in Photoshop in 2017 or like whatever. And then the Cassie Lane side, I've just always used typography. I've never had like a submark or anything like that I can use. I've just never found anything. You know this a little bit, but I'll say it out loud for everybody listening, is that I can't find anything that really speaks to where I want to go. And that's been since the very beginning. Just nothing has really like jumped out at me and been like, you know, this is your evergreen logo. Like I feel like I've only been able to land at like the type of font I want to use, not necessarily what I want the brand to look like, if that makes sense.
Yeah, just the technical or the visual aspects of the brand, like logo, submark, that type of thing.
Yeah, I really struggle with that. So outside of just really feeling like I'm advertising to the wrong group of people in my copy and the freebies and stuff, I also just, as far as like a rebrand, it's really just like the first brand. Like how do we finish? I feel like I'm onto something. I love the colors. I love the direction. I just haven't gotten to that like final spot.
Gotcha. It sounds like when you say rebrand, you basically mean like, I don't want to say burn it all to the ground, because I know that there are parts that you love about it, but for sure, like a total restructure.
Yeah, I think so. And I like my website, I love the flow of it. Like I love how it's laid out. But that still feels very surface. Like it doesn't feel like a solid brand. You know what I mean? Like when you go in and it's like, if I put this on a business card, you would know it because my website looks like that too. Like, I don't feel like I have that missing piece. It's like, I have a bridge.
Yeah.
I need to build a bridge between the two.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that probably is rooted in your visual branding. That's what you're feeling is that lack of consistency. Mm-hmm. Because as I was going through your overall online presence, I did see, I can't see where it is in my notes because my notes look a little crazy, but I did see multiple either headshots or logos mm-hmm. Across multiple different platforms. And I also saw different locations based off of your past moves.
Yeah.
So some stuff hasn't been updated. I think from Temecula, which was their last duty station, back to the East Coast. So mm-hmm. I don't know if that's affecting your booking for brides there, because that was mainly on like the knot and wedding wire and stuff, mm-hmm. which I know those are things that are easy to set up once and like not touch again.
Right.
But because of your military background, I would definitely look into doing that. And to kind of touch on what you mean by when you see your website and you were to have some sort of like physical visual of your brand, I think it's very important to have consistency across the board from all of your social media, like headshots or logos, regardless of what you choose to put in that little circle, whether that's LinkedIn, like Instagram, all of that. Like, I want to see the same headshot or the same logo across all of those. So it doesn't matter where I encounter your brand, I still know it's yours.
Right. Do you think that I'm used to having like something in my hands in the headshots that I use? But when you talk photography and Kaylene Solutions, so when you talk Kaylene Photography and Kaylene Solutions, one's a computer and one's a camera. Do I just use a headshot that I don't have anything in my hands so that it's just consistent across? Because I've always felt like I do feel a connection of like, I have a camera in my hand. I'm a photographer. I have a computer in my hand. Like, I do online business stuff. Like, but I do know that that's an issue. It's like my freaking email picture is like different on every account that I have. And I hate it, but I don't know, is the solution to just have like a proper headshot with, you know, nothing in my hands? Is that what you would do? Okay.
That's what I would do. Just for consistency's sake. And like I said, I want to know when I go visit you on any online platform that it's you and that business is current. Because if I go and I look on, let's say like LinkedIn, which is probably a platform that most in quotation creative entrepreneurs aren't on very often, you are on pretty often because that's where your ideal client would likely hang out. Mm-hmm. But I want to know that LinkedIn profile matches this Instagram profile, matches this website. It's like, I don't know which one is current. I don't know if, because essentially anywhere online is your online storefront. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here, but mm-hmm. if you haven't updated it since 2017 at the inception of your business, then it kind of looks like you're out of business.
Right.
So
okay.
That would obviously deter customers from wanting to inquire with you.
And this is definitely like unpacking, because it does feel like even in, I just don't have the assets, the visual assets that make me feel confident in all of those platforms. Like,
yeah,
I know that like my cover photo in LinkedIn is like so generic. But I had to have something and I don't have the visual assets of my brand to like make it feel cohesive.
Right. I think it was on LinkedIn that I saw, it was not Cassie O'Driscoll, because you have Cassie O'Driscoll on LinkedIn, but you also have a Cassie Lane photography page mm-hmm. on LinkedIn. I'm pretty sure the LinkedIn Cassie Lane photography page that had a different logo than I had ever seen before. It was black font and like, it wasn't even like really script, but it wasn't.
You're just digging in deep to like the all the different times I've tried to find the logo and I hated them all.
But this is why I'm here and I'm digging in, because it's like, I don't know if this is the same this is the same brand, because there is another Cassie Lane. I don't know if you know this or not, but she's a TikToker slash realer, person. And so, and I'm pretty sure she spells it almost identical to you, if not identical. So, which is very strange. Kassielayne. But like, I don't know whether I'm accessing you, Cassie Lane, or hers. So we want to make sure that people know it's you when they find you. Okay, let's see. We went over Facebook and LinkedIn, Wedding Wire and The Knot. We can go ahead and follow down our social media path here. Next up, I had Instagram. I would definitely update your highlights. It looks like you went to update your highlights possibly like a year ago, and you got the covers on, but weren't able to add in the actual highlights that correspond with those. So let's update those. Let's put that at the on your list. But I also want to ask about the older stuff, just because, like I said, I know your business so well. You still have all of the K-Lane style highlights on there once you scroll past the like uniform cover ones. Is that something that you still want on there? Or is that something that we're now like,
we're probably phasing that out. The last time that I went, because when we were in California, I was still doing style shoots. So it wasn't that long ago that I was doing that. So, probably the last time I visited my highlights, I was still in that space. So but that's phasing out for sure.
Okay. Then I think I would do maybe just an Instagram hygiene morning where I go through and kind of scrub those older highlights, maybe add or update the existing highlights with the on brand color cover. And then I want to talk about your pinned posts. So what you currently have right now is three pinned posts. And the first one is about, the caption's about networking, and it's got a stock photo. I'm talking about Cassie Lane, by the way, is a stock photo with the caption about networking. The second one is a 30-minute systems audit, but I don't see any way to take next steps to be able to book that. And then the third is for brand photography. So first thing that stands out is that 30-minute audit. I want in a very specific way to be able to sign up for that audit. I want to know whether it's a call. I want to know whether it's a Zoom call. And one way that you can do that is using ManyChat. You are already familiar with that, but anybody that doesn't know, it's basically an automated Instagram message. You can do it on multiple social media platforms, but it's one of those things where comment audit and I'll send you a link for to sign up for your 30-minute complimentary systems audit. So that's one way that you can kind of set and forget, at least for, you know, the next few months, and still be able to have that do the work for you. My next suggestion would be to take out that networking with the stock photo, mostly because I do think community is a huge part of your brand, but that specifically didn't have like a call to action or a way for you to generate.
That'll probably change to escape. That was like pre-escape stuff. That was when I was doing like Rising Tide a lot. That pin post will probably evolve into an escape post.
Okay. So my suggestion was going to be centered solely around Cassie Lane. The first one I was going to say, once we define those service offerings, I want to have that top of your feed that doesn't go anywhere. So I know exactly how I can work with you and how to start working with you. So that call to action at the very end is just as important as listing out the services that you offer. The second one, I love the audit opt-in. I think that is an easy way and a low barrier to entry, an easy way for potential clients to say yes to you. So let's keep that one there, but tweak the caption itself. And then the third one, I would say you have two options. I would say either do an about Cassie, like an introduction to you, the business owner, especially because you have such a personal brand. Or once we flesh out that freebie for your ideal client, you could also put that there. My gut tells me to put the introductory post to you though, because we already have that free service offering.
I was going
to
say, it feels
there.
Like the Dubsado is the freebie. Yeah.
Yeah. And is it a Dubsado audit or is it a systems
audit? It's a workflow audit.
And
then I try to upsell them on Dubsado.
Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. Then I would still keep it generic because I wouldn't, like me, for example, I use a different CRM than Dubsado, but if I saw it was specifically a Dubsado workflow audit, then I would be like self-select out,
right,
even though I might be your ideal client.
Right.
So my next observation, sorry, I'm rolling through if you have any questions or feedback.
Okay.
My next observation about your socials is that Cassie Lane feels sort of like a combination of all your other accounts already. Kay Lane Photo, Escape, and even possibly Mastermind Mixer. So right now you have Cassie Lane, Kay Lane Photo, Escape, and so four or five with Elements Bar, which is another business Kathy runs. That's a lot for you.
Like, yeah.
I know you have to feel some sort of fatigue running five accounts for yourself. And that's not even talking about your client workload.
Right.
Do you have any interest in combining any of those?
So what I try to do now, and maybe I'm not doing it well, but my goal is, like I said, Cassie Lane is that umbrella account. The only one that I don't think can be combined is the Brides. Like I'm like pretty adamant that I don't want that to be combined, because I've tried unsuccessfully. Like, I don't think it reads well. Okay. But what I'm trying to do now is kind of spread it out so that you can find me in more ways than one, and just collaborate those posts. So I try to use Cassie Lane as the umbrella, and then I collaborate to the Elements Bar. I collaborate to the Mastermind Mixer. I collaborate to Escape. Like, that's what I try to do.
Okay. So I do understand that for Escape, and I do understand that for the Elements Bar, because there are other people involved in those businesses and they're their own distinct brands. However, for the Mastermind Mixer specifically, that's still under Cassie Lane, is it not?
Yeah.
So I would use that content, that podcast content, as content for Cassie Lane instead of splitting it between the two, because I think regardless of where they meet you, like, the end goal is Cassie Lane anyway, right?
Right.
So, I mean, you already have the account. So if you wanted to continue to like collaborate on that account,
I mean, honestly,
from
it's
Cassie
like
Lane,
the permission that I needed, because I never wanted to split it anyway, but it felt, my Cassie Lane account felt, was feeling heavy to me. Like,
what
with all of them together, like so much to talk about under one house. That's why I split it off initially. But because it was so cumbersome, I just started collaborating to keep up.
Excuse me. I think it makes sense because they're, like you said, the reason you split Kay Lane Photo and Cassie Lane was because you're talking to two different ideal clients, but the audience at Mastermind Mixer and the audience at Cassie Lane is the same audience. So why I would definitely bring it together under one roof. Like I said, since the Mastermind and Mastermind Mixer account already exists, it doesn't hurt to collaborate if you want to collaborate, because you're still only creating the content once. But from here on out, I would not see them as two separate accounts or entities where you have to create content specifically for that. Otherwise, it's just going to continue to exhaust you.
Yeah.
I feel.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions that you have about Instagram before we scoot along?
I don't think so.
Okay. These next ones are going to be rather rapid fire, because it's just like specific things that I saw as I was going through your online presence. First of all, did you know you had a feature on the Worldwide Women's Association website?
I did know that.
Oh, you did? Okay. Did. Well, that's one of the top hits that comes up. So
nice.
I don't know if that is something that
I don't get it
helps
any type of leads from it.
That's what I was like, I don't know if that helps or hinders or what that means, but I thought it was interesting because we might have talked about it in passing like a year ago, but like,
we did that for Escape.
Okay.
That was one of like, let's get our names on as many like women run business platforms.
Right. Well, you did it.
Thank you.
Okay. For Pinterest is the next one. I want to see what your intent for Pinterest is, where you're at, what you love about it, what you hate about it.
I have no feelings left or right about Pinterest. Sometimes it feels like it's out of obligation, so I don't do it very much. I'm not consistent with it at all.
Okay. Yeah. Cause it was very, it was a little confusing.
Yeah.
There was like a kid's board, a woodshop board, a renter friendly
I also
board.
have two Cassie Lane Pinterest. One is personal and one is business.
Well, I think this one was business cause it had styled shoot stuff on it too. It wasn't, I'm just reading personal stuff.
That's so funny. Cause I thought that like everything was hidden except for like what I pinned. That's so funny. Yeah,
because
I actually,
it was like,
so like rewind to 2019 when you and I were both in the wedding photography course and we got a free Pinterest class or whatever.
Yeah. It was like, I don't think I ever took
it. I haven't, me either, but like just that we got like a smaller snippet version and then it was like, take the rest of it, click here. I never clicked, but like that small snippet, I was like, I should be doing this. I have no idea how, I have no idea. And I just, like sometimes I'll get an itch and I'll be like, I'm going to put this on Pinterest, but no, Pinterest is not a priority at all.
Okay. Could I prompt you to maybe just tidy it up so that when people,
I had no idea that you could even see anything. Of course, well, I'll tidy it up.
It looked very intentional because some of it was very close to some of your brand colors currently. Mm-hmm. And you had like graphics that had like title pages, like very
cover photos. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I just thought that those were like for me. Like I thought I had made my account so that like I could reference them, you know?
I have here, maybe make those private boards.
Perfect. I will.
Oh my God. Okay. Next I had Etsy versus Shopify, and offline we've had this conversation today. I am not an e-com girl, but I do know like basics about Etsy and Shopify, but I think if you are already having success on Etsy, there's no reason to branch out into a different.
And I have a lot more experience. I have experience with both platforms, but more with Etsy, and at the stage I'm at and what I'm using it for, I'm totally comfortable on Etsy and like letting them take their fees or whatever.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. I will say that I was able to look back into your previous sales. I'm so nosy. No, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. But your previous sales say that you sell almost very consistently, like three of the same item in a row every single time. And I'm like, I bet I could take I couldn't see the dates, but I bet if I could see the dates that you sold these, that there would be a corresponding Instagram post with or about that resource or that resource.
Almost.
Or that feature.
Yeah. I still get like, if I post about it, I'll sell like one or two things, but then I still get those like ones and twosies a month that are just like, I just sold something this morning. And I haven't posted about it. It's just people are, they're definitely, I paid somebody on Fiverr to do the keyword work for my post. And I think it hits because I sell what I would like. This is I would like to build that out to have more professions. Cause right now my Dipsado offers are specific. Like I have like a hair and makeup one. I have a wedding planner one and a photography one. I would like to build those out to be more of my ideal client.
Absolutely. Those lifestyle entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And we're still going to continue to flesh out the definition.
The terminology.
Of that. Yeah. But you want to build that out to do more professions. And I think, and I apologize if this is redundant, I don't mean to say this in like a condescending way whatsoever. Have you ever done like sit down and write out your own content buckets?
No, I do it for everybody else.
Right. I want to challenge you to do that. I want you to sit down and say, okay, these are the top five things, main topics that I talk about. And these are the top five subtopics that go under those main topics. I know you love a mind map. So I do have a template for that I can send to you. But I think that your Etsy shop should absolutely be within one of those subtopics of those content buckets, because it's very direct correlation of when you talk about it, you sell it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So let's let that data speak for itself and continue to pour gasoline on that fire.
Yeah.
And then my final, well, not my final, golly gee, I have so many notes. I'm sorry. And if you need to go, just let me know. But I want to talk more about the Mastermind Mixer. We touched on it as far as like it goes with Instagram, but what is the intent and purpose behind the Mastermind Mixer,
So,
which is her podcast, by the way?
Yes. So, I started that to fill the community void. I really like to learn from others. I mean, we've talked about this as far as my values, like community is definitely one that's going to stick. So that's where it started, and inspired by you, honestly, season three, I was like, well, let me maybe pursue something a little bit more specific about the workflows. And so this past season, I have done them individually to try to generate, and I really lost steam because I do love the community piece of it. Like, I love interviewing other entrepreneurs and like learning, and the whole thing about online business management that I really love is that I get to hear about people's ideas and we like flush them out and how to do them. So being able to do that on the podcast and hear about how they got started and where they are now and see how their, you know, their business changed and evolved and all that, like, really fires me up. So it really had at the core community for sure. And then I'm starting to realize the opportunity to monetize and things like that. Like I said, I toyed around with that this season and I just lost everything that I loved about the podcast. So I know that I want to go back to interviewing. But I think I'll just be more intentional of working in what I can do for these businesses in the conversation with them. So you really like asked me at an opportune time because I've been editing. Backstory, we did each night we recorded at the Escape conference, and I've been editing those into episodes. And what I've really enjoyed about it is that I've like interjected into our stream of consciousness conversation and been like, this is what I was thinking, or like, this is how, you know. And I think, and I had this idea when I first started the podcast, but I would love to do that in the interview style where I can go in and be like, this is how this could streamline more, like, because she did, you know, and the things that I do as an online business manager integrate my afterthoughts into the interview, I think is probably season four.
You want to marinate?
I want to marinate. And then like say out loud after the dust settles, you know?
Absolutely. And I think that you would be remiss if you didn't strategically ask guests to be on your podcast that could be potential clients. That's not to say that you aren't genuinely interested in their story, but I know in the past, the way that you've gotten guests on your podcast is mostly through like Facebook groups, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And a lot of like cold DMing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So perhaps instead of, was there strategy behind the cold DMing, or was it just like you thought their business was cool and you wanted to?
I thought
their
business was cool and I wanted to hear about it.
Okay. So I think kind of go on that same vein, but then once you tell them why you think their business is cool and you want to interview them, make sure that they could also be a potential client. And that way you'd convert that cold DM into a warm lead that's heard your voice and knows how supportive and willing to celebrate them you are. So that's definitely like, sorry that you've already like thought of that, but that was going to be my suggestion for the Mastermind Mixer. So.
Well, it's just so funny because of the questionnaire, you know, my brain starts turning. So since I filled that out, it's been like, okay, like, what did I like? What did I not like? And then just a shameless plug, because we launched the Escape Retreat, which is goal oriented. I've had like goal planning being hammered into my like social media brain. So I have been thinking about these things. It's just bringing them all into like a pretty bow, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. See, now I feel like we are starting to talk about the formulation of your brand ecosystem, where people are entering, how they're going to get to know you. I mentioned this actually at the conference on our panel, but it was the 7-11-4 rule. Mm-hmm. And that what that rule means, and I have a whole other podcast episode about this, is the seven part of the 7-11-4 rule means that somebody has to hear you or interact with you for 7 hours before they're going to purchase from you. And I think that the podcast is a great way to continue to build that like, know, and trust factor so that It can be 2 a.m. in Japan when another military spouse is listening to your podcast, but they're growing that familiarity with you while you sleep. They're identifying themselves as an ideal client, and you're not having to do any further work than the production of the episode. The 11 part is that they have to interact with you on 11 different touch points. On the four is on four different platforms, whether that's social media, your podcast, your website, whatever, email marketing list. Like, we want to make that ecosystem or that web as sticky as possible so that they get stuck in it and they have that bingeable sort of like rabbit hole to go down to be able to like, know, and trust you. So I think the podcast is a great way to be able to use that in a genuine way, while also a strategic way. Okay. The last thing that I want to touch on, and then I promise I will wrap it up, is your website. I already mentioned that you did a great job of bringing all of your service offerings together into one place, so that it doesn't really feel disjointed on your website. The only time that I kind of got like a jolt that I wasn't expecting was on your homepage at the very end. You slipped in wedding photography there. And I know that you have the different, the headings on your navigation bar. I believe it's home, creatives, brides, about you, blog, and contact, I believe is what it is. And so as a creative, like as a business owner, I doubt that I would have immediately recognized brides because creatives is listed before it on like just, you know, left to right reading your nav bar. And then like, I got down to the bottom, I was like, oh wait, she does wedding photography. That doesn't really like fit in with what I thought that you did. That's, and again, that's the only reason that I feel like maybe that needs to be split, so that it's not doing your wedding photography business a disservice by not completely serving those brides. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the only part that I'm still struggling with, is how to incorporate that wedding photography into Cassie Lane as an umbrella, and just offering, you know, a second point of view, is it possible to be able to peel Cassie Lane wedding photography into another brand, much like we talked about the winery being done earlier, where those values still make them feel consistent across the board, but you're able to speak specifically to that ideal client without having to sacrifice the creative side and vice versa?
Yeah, probably. No, I do think that makes sense. And I hadn't considered that, because Cassie Lane photography and was kind of like where it all started, right? Like, that's when I hadn't considered like, oh, that's its own thing, you know, because it has always felt housed.
And usually this is like actually contrary to most of my advice, because usually when I see people having two separate brands, I try to like push them to bring them together to make less work for themselves, because they say that the ideal client is different. But this is actually true in that case. So that's, I think, why I'm struggling so much with that. Okay, let's see. The only other thing that I really wanted to point out about your website was that the footer nav bar was empty. And you have a call to action on almost every canvas of your website, which is great. But once I get down to the bottom, I'm only able to access your socials. I think it was Instagram and Facebook, maybe, or maybe it was Instagram and Pinterest. It was two, but that takes me away from your site versus having that nav bar down at the bottom and your footer of your site to be able to maintain that person on your site for as long as possible.
Okay.
That was my only other like kind of constructive criticism on that. But overall, I love that you were able to bring in your all of your passions and all of the different branches of your business into one roof that really like makes sense to me. So yes. Well, thank you.
Did we do it?
We did it.
I did ask you before to take notes and I didn't. So I'm excited to like see your notes in real life.
Yes. Yes. I thought about sending you a picture of them, but I wanted to like completely have you like off guard.
I love that. And, I have a couple big road trips coming and I like my hotspot's going to be fired up and I'm going to be like changing my profile pictures, fixing my footer, like doing all the things.
Putting some private Pinterest boards on there.
Yeah, exactly. This has been like exactly what I needed. So I very much appreciate it. Like I see you do this for other people all the time. And I, after the conference, especially, it was like, okay, like it is time. Like we
yes.
Gotta
and I
this.
Feel like we didn't come to like a bunch of slap the table conclusions, but I feel like the conversation alone is enough to propel those conversations forward. And in the very typical like brand analysis, what I do like for every other client is we go through this call. From this call, I then create a plan based off of the feedback that I got from you so that you can get to those goals that you had listed out in the next 6 to 12 months. And from there, we have yet another call going over that final document. And that way, that is where we have those very specific action items. So you're actually taking like a jump in the right direction before like the normal process like
begins,
I guess, kinda promotes it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're a step ahead of the game as always.
Oh, I hope it stays that way. And you got to stick around for me to stay that way. So.
I'll be here. I'm not going anywhere. Well, thank you so much for being so vulnerable on the Ali Rae Haney show today. I am so thankful for you. And I hope that you found at least a few nuggets that can propel Cassie Lane and the future of all of your business endeavors forward.
Thank you so much. And you'll see me online and it'll all look consistent.
Yay. I can't wait. As my son would say, did it. You just completed another episode of the Ali Rae Haney Show. If you found this helpful, please rate, review, and subscribe to help others find this show and so you never miss an episode. Take a look at the show notes for all the resources mentioned in today's episode. Let's continue the conversation over in my private Facebook group, the Ali Rae Haney Show Insiders. See you next Wednesday. And as always, I'm here cheering you on as you build your dream brand and business.